You would look with us in Genesis chapter number 49. Genesis chapter number 49. Appreciate the opportunity to preach again this morning. Amen. I appreciate everything that's went on here this morning in the service. It's been a blessing to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Amen. And it's been a blessing to be here for the marathon. We had a good time. We didn't get in until Thursday evening and was here for Friday and Saturday. But I thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity to be here.
Amen.
Amen. I was in Lindsborg, Kansas the first part of the week. I had a good meeting there. Amen.
Amen.
And just thank the Lord for His goodness to us. Amen. And am I on, Brother Steve? Okay, very good. Amen. Just want to make sure. I wasn't sure I turned it on. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter number 49. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here, and I'll have you be seated. And then we'll read some more here, Lord willing. But look in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us as we preach here this morning. Brother Philip, you care to lead us in prayer? Yes. Yes, Lord. Help us. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I don't normally preach a message out that I haven't preached at Pollard, but I am going through the life of Joseph. There, and I know I preached last time here from the life of Joseph. We're not going to be dealing with Joseph this morning, but this is still in the story of Joseph, you might would say. But we're looking here at these blessings that Jacob blessed his sons with. And I haven't preached this yet. I was studied it to preach it last week. I was going to preach on two different sons, and I didn't get to it. The Lord blessed me in studying this, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. But I was talking about the life of Joseph, and we find in the life of Joseph, it begins really, we find his birth back, I think it's in chapter 30, but we find it starts talking about Joseph in chapter 37. And that's where we pick up the story of Joseph, but from 37 through 50 is the story of Joseph, but about half of the chapters are not really talking about Joseph. Amen. You know, our life is the same way. We think we're the main character in our story. When a lot of times, God might be using us in somebody else's life. He might be talking about Judah. He might be talking about the father. He might be talking about somebody else. Amen. And Daddy mentioned, he's preaching through Ruth one time, and he's talking about Ruth. Ruth has four chapters, the book of Ruth. Ruth is it's named after Ruth. Ruth didn't write it. Amen. The Bible says the Bible is written by holy men of old. Amen. Ruth didn't write the book of Ruth, but that's the name of it. We think that she's a saint, but she's not even the main character.
That's right.
The main character is Boaz. Amen. And in our life, in my life, the main character should be God. Amen. And but you find in the book of Ruth, the first chapter, Boaz ain't even mentioned.
Right.
It's a terrible story. Ruth is in a terrible place.
Yep.
She's in a far distant land, doesn't even know God. And the only one she does know God is out of God's will. Amen. And then she comes back and she finds Boaz. Amen. But there's a chapter in your life that doesn't include God either.
Right.
Amen. And if you don't recognize that, then you're probably still in that chapter.
Right.
Amen. But we need God in our life. Amen. Amen. Our story, my story is not about me. Amen. Your story is not, shouldn't be about you.
Right.
Should be about God. Amen. Amen. And here we find in this chapter, it's really talking about all the sons of Jacob. But it's Jacob doing the talking. And Jacob's getting ready to die. He's been thinking he's going to die for years. Now he's getting ready to die. Amen. And he's given this instruction to his sons. And we find here that when Jacob is about to die, he gathers, he says twice. He called him to his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together." Verse number 1. Verse number 2, "Gather yourselves together." Twice he commanded for them to gather together.
Right.
Now think about these sons, 12 sons. And they're not children, they're all grown men, all older, they all have families of their own. And that's what Jacob is really talking about. And they're all older, but they all have differences. Throughout their whole life, they've never been able to get along. Amen. They couldn't speak peaceably unto them back in the very first chapter talking about their life. Amen. And so they have had difficulties. But Jacob says you need to put aside your difficulties. You need to put aside your disagreements. You need to come together and hear a word from the Father because He has something to tell you. Amen. And that's good for us as well. We need to just put aside our differences. And he says, gather yourselves together, verse 1, gather yourselves together, verse 2. There's multiple commandments from the Word of God for us to gather ourselves together and hear the Word of God. Amen. We need to put aside our differences and just come together and see. I see this, not only did he tell them to do that, but Jacob had something, the father had something for every son that was there. I believe when we gather ourselves together at the house of God, there'll be something, if we're looking for it, for everybody. Amen. And if I choose not to come to the house of God, then I'll miss out on the blessing that God has for me on that day. Amen. I believe we'll be missing something because there's something there for each of us. Amen. And so we need to be faithful to the house of God. Amen. I also noticed that Jacob speaks to every one of them, and some of them, he says, look at what he says here, verse number 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Now he's speaking to them, these brothers. There's just 12 of them here. They have children, but it doesn't look like their children are here. He's talking to them. They're gathered by his bedside. He's telling them not what has happened, and not what's getting ready to happen to them, really. He's saying in the last days. If you look at, when you read the scripture, you have to find out what it's talking about. It's not talking, the last days doesn't always mean the same thing. The end doesn't always mean the same thing. Salvation doesn't always mean the same thing. You have to look at the context, see what it's talking about. Endures till the end shall be saved. Is that talking about our soul salvation?
Nope.
Is it talking about the end of our life?
Nope.
No. There's a different end. There's a different salvation there. These last days, we're not talking about, when we talk about the last days, we're in the last days according to the scriptures. Jesus can come at any time, and I believe that He is coming. Amen. As the song said there. Amen. But here, these last days, not talking about that. I believe these last days are talking about the kingdom years of Jacob. Here is not just a family anymore. He's becoming a nation. And that's what God promised him. And so He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to tell you what you can expect for your descendants in the kingdom years.
Right.
Amen. When they get into the promised land, they're not going to be here in Egypt forever. God's already promised that. They're going to be here for a short time. It seems like a long time to them. But they're going to be here for a short time, and then they're going to move into the promised land following the leadership of Moses and the leadership of God into the promised land. Amen. And then the leadership of Joshua. And then God's going to raise up judges. And this is what this is talking about. He's going to raise up judges, and then He's going to raise up a king, and then another king, and then the nation's going to be divided. And this is what He's talking about here in these verses. I believe we can see that. But He's got something for everyone, and He's going to bless them. But He can't really bless them for in the future because they haven't dealt with the past.
Right.
If you look down verse number 3, He's talking about Reuben. Verse number 3 is wonderful, but verse number 4, he says, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because this is why thou wentest up to thy father's bed. He had sinned and not dealt with his sin. I believe we can find in Reuben he covered his sin.
Yep.
He wouldn't deal with his sin. He thought he was getting by with his sin. But in the last day, in this judgment day, he's going to have to give an account for that sin. Then we go on down, Simeon and Levi were cruel. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. They had to deal with their past because they hadn't dealt with their past. Now, Judah had confessed his sin and confronted his and repented of his sin. And because of that, Judah does not, there's nothing negative said about Judah. Even though he was maybe the biggest sinner of them all. But he had found forgiveness. He had his sins forgiven because he had repented of them and confessed them to Joseph. Amen. Joseph, of course, is a type of Christ. And so he is blessed. He's given the best blessing of all of them. Amen. The Messiah is going to come through his loins. He's going to rule over his brethren. He's going to be the king. The kings are going to come from the tribe of Judah. Amen. Now, we're not dealing with any of those. Those are the main ones, but you'll find he blesses Zebulun and Issachar and Dan and Gad. But look at verse number 20. This is what I want to deal with. Let me say this first, though, make the application in this. Jacob's called these sons to him, and they're standing in front of him, and he is judging them just as much as he is blessing them. And there's going to come a day when we're going to stand before the Father. All of us that are sons, all of us that are Christians, are going to stand before the Father. We're going to give an account for the deeds done in our body. Amen. And there's the judgment seat of Christ has been mentioned some. There's going to be some punishment that's going to go on in that day. It's not all punishment. There's going to be some rewards that's handed out to those who are faithful.
Right. Amen.
Amen. But you don't get a reward if you're not faithful. Amen.
Right.
We don't work our way to get to heaven, but there is some rewards for living a life for the Lord. Amen. And so there's coming a day when we're going to stand before God, and God's going to judge us, and He's going to tell us some things. The things that's going to take place in that judgment, I believe, are going to determine where that we are going to be in the kingdom years of the millennial reign of Christ. There's going to be some people that's going to rule. He said, you've been faithful of a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. There's going to be some that are not going to have anything left. And it's talked about suffering during the millennial reign. I don't know all about that, but I believe there's some consequences for our actions today that's going to take place in the millennial kingdom, just like these brothers. They thought they were just living for themselves. They're never going to have to give an account to their father or to God, either one. It looks like Jacob was not the best father. God is the best father, and we still think that we're going to get by with our sins sometimes. We still think that we're just living for ourselves today, but listen, there's a payday coming. As they say, it's not always on Sunday, not always on Friday, but God does have a payday, and it will come one of these days. There's a payday for living wickedly. There's also a payday for living righteously. Yeah. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. Look down in verse number 20. This is what I want to deal with this morning, and you pray for us as we preach. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Now, in a lot of these, we find blessing and cursing, or blessing or cursing. One of those three combinations. Here, we just find blessing. Asher is going to be blessed. Asher, he's going to have bread.
Amen.
Not only his bread, he shall be fat because of his bread. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Now, Asher, here we find Asher. I was talking to Daddy last night about this a little bit. These sons, it doesn't seem like they're in any kind of order. But Asher is Jacob's eighth son. There's not a whole lot said about Asher through the Word of God. But he's Jacob's eighth son. He's Zilpah's second son, Leah's sixth by a handmaid. But she had four first, and then two by a handmaid, and then two more later. So he's Leah's sixth son, if you want to count it that way. And we find his birth also in Genesis chapter number 30 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, 'Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed.' And she called his name Asher."
Yep.
That word Asher means happy. Hmm. Amen. He had a happy name. Amen. And if you read through all of these blessings, Jacob takes their name, and he says, Gad, right before this, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. The word Gad means troop.
Right.
It can mean overcomer. It's not just talking about a military force. It's talking about a victorious force.
Amen.
So he said, the overcomer shall be overcome by other overcomers, but he shall overcome at the last.
Amen.
Amen. So he's using a play on these words. And of course, we understand they had meaning to their names. But Jacob is talking about these, and he's prophesying about what's going to happen later on. God is using Jacob's words. You say, how do we know that? Well, they're included in God's word. And they are uttered by God. Amen. They're not Jacob's words necessarily. They're God's words here in the word of God. And so he says, out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Leah, Zilpah had a son, and Leah named him happy because, he said, the daughters will call me blessed, and I am happy to have another son. If you'll look back in chapter 29, not take time to do this, but she had Reuben, and she said, now will my husband love me. Then she had Simeon, she said, now will my husband be joined unto me. She had Levi, and the same thing, now will my husband love me, because she was not loved by her husband. She was hated by her husband, the Bible says. She was seeking the affection of her husband, and she thought, if I'll just have him some children, he'll love me. And that never worked. She never received the love of Jacob. It doesn't look like throughout all of his life, she never really received his love. But then she had Judah, and she said, he's still not loving me, but I'm just going to praise the Lord. Amen. And she said, before she wasn't praising him because of her circumstances, but she's still in the same circumstances. She said, I'm just going to praise the Lord. Amen. She has a fifth son, and she has a sixth son. She said, I'm happy. Amen. Even if I don't receive what I'd like to receive, I'm blessed of the Lord enough. Amen. If we be honest, we're the same way. We may not have all the circumstances we'd like to have, but we're blessed of God, amen. And we can be happy. We talked about Friday about the he that will love life. We have to make a choice whether we're going to love this life or hate this life. And a lot of people have the best of this world, and they still hate everything. Yeah. Amen. Asher was happy, and he caused Leah to be happy. I believe he caused Jacob to be happy, amen. So I believe Jacob blesses Asher here in our text with a twofold blessing. He says, out of Asher his bread shall be fat. I notice the word there, be. He said, Asher is going to be something. Asher is going to be happy. Asher is going to be blessed. He's going to be fat. He's going to be prosperous. But then he doesn't stop there. He said, out of his bread shall Asher be fat. Then I notice one word in the second phrase. He shall yield royal dainties. So not only is he going to be fat, not only is he going to be blessed, not only is he going to be prosperous, but he's going to yield. He's going to give some things. He's going to be blessed in what he gives. Amen. We just come through Marathon, and it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. If God's blessed you, he didn't bless you so you could keep it all and hoard it for yourself. He's blessed you so you can bless others. And you receive the biggest blessing in doing that. The second blessing does not have to do with what he is, but with what he does, with what he is.
Right.
What are you doing with what God's blessed you with? Amen. I don't believe you have to be happy if you're not doing something. I believe God has a calling for every person's life. I don't believe anybody will ever be happy outside of what of doing what God's called them to do.
Right.
And that'll cause you to be what God's called you to be. Amen. I believe that. There's something to do with what we give, what we do with what we have. Amen. He shall yield royal dainties. That word dainty means a delicacy or a pleasure. We understand, and he's talking about food here. We have delicacies. We have sweet things. We have pleasant things, nice things. That word means pleasant to the palate, of exquisite taste, delicious, delicate. Amen. That's what Asher is going to be and what he's going to give. He's going to give the best of what he has.
Amen.
He's not only going to give dainties, but royal dainties. There's going to be kings that's going to be blessed by Asher.
Amen.
That's what God says. Amen. God's blessed Asher so much he's able to bless kings. Now, let me hurry through here and give you some thoughts here about Asher and the blessing that Jacob gave to Asher, and the blessing that Moses gave to Asher in Deuteronomy 33, if you want to be turning there with us, Deuteronomy 33. And we'll find, if we read through the scriptures here, God has blessed Asher, or he said he would bless Asher in a mighty way and make him happy, make him blessed, make him prosperous and fruitful. And when they come into the land of Canaan, Joshua gave Asher the northwest coast of the land of Canaan that was there by the sea. And so they had trade with other countries. Actually, just within the coast of Asher, really, is where the Phoenicians were. And they had traded with all the world. They had built a great trade route, and they were able to trade. And I believe some of that may be how the Asher was blessed through their trade. But it's also a very fruitful place in the land of Israel. It's farmland. It's a fruitful place. But Joshua gave them that a region with low temperature and much rainfall, making it some of the most fertile land in all of Israel. Amen. It's very prosperous and known for its olive oil, they tell us. And so notice that Asher's happiness did not come just from what he had, but his happiness came more what he did was what he had. How he gave, how he yielded this to the Lord. Amen. But so look here, Joshua gave him that land, and I believe that's part of the blessing of Jacob is the land. Some of the tribes, he just blessed them in their land and what they were given. But here we find in chapter 33 of the book of Deuteronomy, look down in verse number 24, Moses is blessing the tribes. He doesn't bless them all, but he blesses most of them. And here he gives a good blessing, maybe one of the better blessings to Asher. And he says here, verse number 24, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. We've heard that phrase. We might not have realized it come from this portion of Scripture where Moses is blessing Asher. But he said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. That's a blessing.
Amen.
We'll deal with that here in a little bit. But I see, first of all, Moses said that Asher here, he said, let Asher be blessed. He's going to be blessed. He's going to be happy. That word blessed means happy.
Right.
He's going to be blessed with children.
Amen.
Blessed. With children. You know, children are a blessing. Amen. This world thinks they're a curse, but they're a blessing.
Yes,
have children. Amen. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Amen.
Amen.
And children are an heritage of the Lord. Amen. So he's going to be blessed with children. I see Moses said Asher is going to be abundant. That's really the same blessing Jacob gave to him.
Yep.
Asher is going to be abundant. He's going to have a lot of children. If you would look in Numbers chapter number 1, it gives the census, you might would say, Brother Steve likes for me to take a census, amen. So I looked through that and I studied that some and found that Asher had quite a few people, but not he wasn't one of the larger tribes when they came out of Egypt. You come down to Numbers 26, Moses numbers the children of Israel again, and Asher has gained 11,900 people. I think the second largest gain of people. God killed all the people 20 years and older. And Asher, after having everybody over 20 years and older die, they gained 11,000 people, almost 12,000 people.
Amen.
God blessed them. Now Moses here in Deuteronomy 33 is after Numbers 26, I believe. They're getting ready to go into Canaan land, and Moses is getting ready to die, and Moses is blessing them. And Moses said, you're going to be abundant with children.
Amen.
So God's going to bless you with a lot of children. This is after they've gained 12,000 people almost in the wilderness. Amen. I thank the Lord that I preached last time I was here about being fruitful in the wilderness and in the famine and all of this. We can be fruitful even when the rest of the world is dying. Amen. When everything's going wrong, we can serve the Lord and be found faithful in Him. Amen. So this is, Asher's just getting started, and Moses said, you're going to have a lot more children. You're going to be a large tribe. And we find they were throughout a lot of the time of the kingdom years, they were a large tribe.
Amen.
When they came out of Egypt, I think there was the third largest tribe. Judah was by far the largest. And then you have, I don't remember who's second, but I believe Asher was third. And Moses said he's going to grow even more. He's going to be bountiful. Amen.
Amen.
He's going to be bountiful with his children in number. He's going to be abundant. Number two, Moses said, look here what he said. In verse number 24, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. He's going to be acceptable. Amen. That's a good blessing.
Yep.
For you to be accepted among the brethren.
Right.
Amen. Now we shouldn't just seek the affection of others. We shouldn't just seek he was talking about Brother Jacob, I think this morning, or maybe Brother Jacob said it, I don't remember, but I think Brother Jacob did say being acceptable to God, being pleasing unto Him. That's that having His smile, that should be what we
Amen.
Desire the most. But it is a blessing when God gives us favor among the people.
Right.
Amen. And that's what Moses said would happen. He would be acceptable to his brethren. I already talked about a little bit about how these brothers fought. But he said, Asher's going to be accepted. I won't ask you to turn there, but if you want to go back and look, you can jot it down. Numbers chapter number 2. God has given Moses the direction for how that the children of Israel are going to camp around the tabernacle. We talked a little bit about this when he's talking about the sun. That tabernacle was a picture of the cross.
Right.
And the way they were to camp around the tabernacle, and if the pulpit, for example, is a tabernacle, they would camp, some of them would camp on the north side. There would be nobody on the northwest and nobody on the northeast. There would be people camping on the west side, but nobody camping on the northwest or the southwest. I'd be camping on the south, but nobody. So you would see a cross in the camp of the children of Israel. And God told them who was going to camp where. The Levites were going to camp right around the tabernacle. But they were all to base their abode, their living, on where the house of God was at that time. They were to camp around the house of God. That'd do us good to base everything that we do around the house of God. Amen. Our livelihood should be based around the house of God. We find God said on the east side, you're going to have Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. All three of these were Leah's sons. All three of them, Leah's sons. There are 186,000 people camping on the east side. This is the largest. On the south side, we find Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. Now, Reuben and Simeon are Leah's sons, just as Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, but Gad is Zilpah's son, who was Leah's handmaid. Now, all these are on the south side, or 151,000. On the west side, you have Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. All three of these, actually we find Benjamin and Joseph are the sons of Rachel, and Ephraim and Manasseh are Joseph's sons. So all three of these were the three sons in the tribes, the three tribes that came from Rachel.
Right.
And we understand that Rachel was the beloved of Jacob. Rachel's two sons were beloved of Jacob.
Right.
And the other brothers did not like that. Yep. These brothers did. Rachel's children did not get along with Judah's children. I mean, with Leah's children. But if we find on the south side, we find Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. Dan and Naphtali are Bilhah's children, which is Rachel's handmaid, while Asher is Zilpah's child, which is Leah's handmaid. The only tribe that God said you're going to camp, you're going to live with the other side, is Asher. God could trust Asher to get along with these other children.
Amen.
He was accepted among the brethren.
Amen.
Nobody else was accepted in that way. They was all segregated with their people so they wouldn't have fights, wouldn't get into trouble, I believe. God said, I can trust Asher to live among his enemies, if we can say it that way.
Amen.
Those that he doesn't really like. Amen. Now we understand there's brethren, but if you have any brethren, you probably know that sometimes they can be enemies. Amen. And so they did not get along, but Asher was capable of doing that.
Amen.
Amen. Can I say this? God said Asher is going to be able to get along with the people he's around. There's some people like that. There's some people that it doesn't matter who you put them around, they can't get along with them. Amen. How are we in that way? Are we able to get along with those? Can God trust us to get along with people that we don't even agree with sometimes?
Right.
Amen. Or do we have trouble agreeing with those we do agree with? Amen. Amen. And then we find the third blessing here in chapter 33 of Deuteronomy. He said, let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. I believe what we can say here is not only is he acceptable and abundant, but he's affluent. He's got all these blessings here. He is blessed with oil. Oil is something that's precious.
Yeah.
Amen. He's not talking about gasoline. Amen. We got a lot of oil in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas, those areas. You got a lot of oil. Around here, he's got some oil. That's not what he's talking about. That oil is a sign of joy. It's a sign of happiness. It's a sign of wealth and prosperity. It's a sign of the anointing of God.
Yeah.
Amen. He's going to be anointed. He's going to have all these blessings. I believe that iron and brass, he's going to He said he's not only going to have enough oil to anoint his head, but he's going to just dip his foot in it. He's going to have so much of it. Amen. He's going to have so much iron and brass, he's going to wear that as shoes. It shows strength. It shows blessing. And I believe the iron and brass on his shoes is talking about the metals that's found in the ground where he's at. He's blessed. He's got all these minerals, all these things that he can use to make money, to prosper. God just blessed him in so many ways. And then at the end of that, not only is he affluent, he's acceptable, he's abundant, but in verse number 25, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I want to say this, he's able. God said you're going to be able to do what I'd have you to do.
Amen.
Some people say, as long as you live, you're going to have strength. I don't think he was saying that. I think what he's saying is, as thy days, however your days are, if you have holy days, if you were living the way he told the children of Israel, if you go into the promised land and you fight the Philistines and you fight the Amorites and you fight the Hivites, all these, I'll be with you and I'll fight for you.
Right.
And he said, so long as you worship me and me only, then I will bless you.
Right.
But he said, if you worship other gods, serve other gods, then I will curse you and I'll carry you away to another land. And he did that. So he's saying, as you live, however you live, that's what your strength's going to be. That's the result. Some people talk about karma. We don't believe in karma.
No.
Amen. But we do believe that as a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. As your days are, that's what's going to happen to your strength. So the interesting thing to me here in this scripture is we find all of these blessings and no cursing. Yet you can search your Bible, you won't find a judge, you won't find a prophet, you won't find hardly any leader or king or anything from the tribe of Asher. God said you're going to be strong, and they were for a time. There come a time when they were carried away into Assyria. And for a lot of the time, they were attacked by other countries. Syria and these other countries was nearby. They was on the border. They were one of the first ones to see war when war came to Israel. You say, why is that? Well, I believe the reason, I don't believe God lied about his promise.
No.
I believe the reason is because their days were not what God said they should be.
Right.
And God took away their strength.
Yep.
Amen. I believe that's what happened. We find, look with me in Judges chapter number 1. Judges chapter number 1. We find in the book of Joshua that Asher was one of those that did not drive out the Canaanites. They did not take their land. And so Joshua gave them their land with the Canaanites still there.
Yep.
Joshua said, all right, these seven tribes, you haven't done what you're supposed to do. But if we got to divide up this land. And so he divided it up. They had to deal with the Canaanites that were there.
Yep.
Look with me in Judges chapter number 1. This is the same story down in verse number 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns. And he goes on down all these towns. Look, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gerar. But the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Notice that. The Canaanites dwelt among them. The Canaanites dwelt in the land in verse number 27. Verse number 30. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Naholah. But the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Look at verse number 31 though. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of all these towns. Verse number 32. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive the amount. Now we find this later, but Asher's the first one. All these other ones, the Canaanites dwelt with them. Bible says that Asher dwelt with the Canaanites.
Yep.
Amen. There's a difference, I believe.
Yes, sir.
The thing is that when you dwell with somebody else, they own the land. But when they dwell with you, There's a difference between a landowner and a renter, right?
Right.
The Asherites went in there and they dwelt there, but they dwelt with them. They never really owned the land. They never took control of the land. They never did what God said for them to do.
Right.
We find no judge. We find Asher did not even help Deborah in Judges chapter number 5.
Right.
They stayed by the sea, the Bible says. It says they continued on the seashore and abode in his breaches. And look in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. I have a point here this morning. It won't take me long once I get to my point. I want to look here at this. No, I'm sorry. 1 Chronicles 27. I looked at the wrong place. 1 Chronicles 27. Here we find David has assigns 12 captains for the 12 months there. And then for a rotation month by month. You come down to verse number 16 and we find he's assigning princes to the, my Bible says here at the heading, the princes of the 12 tribes. We find when we read the Bible, almost every time it mentions the 12 tribes of Israel, there's 13. Because you have, there's actually 12 sons. But Joseph had two sons and he had the double blessing. And Jacob said that your sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, are going to be counted as my sons. Jacob really adopted Ephraim and Manasseh. There's no tribe of Joseph. But there is a tribe of Ephraim and there's a tribe of Manasseh. And so a lot of times Levi is not mentioned because Levi doesn't have land.
Right.
Levi is the priest. And so sometimes there's just 12, but Levi's not mentioned. If there's just 12, maybe it might say Joseph, but not the two tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. So there's different ways for it to say it. But look here in chapter 16, usually one or more are left out. Here David's going to assign people over these 12 tribes of Israel. Look what he says. Furthermore, over the tribes of Israel, the ruler of the Reubenites was Eliezer. Go on down. Of the Simeonites, verse number 17, of the Levites, and of the Aaronites. So Levi, there's one man for the Levites, one man for the Aaronites, who is a Levite as well. So you have two in the tribe of Levi. Of Judah, of Issachar, verse number 18, verse number 19, of Zebulun. Of Naphtali, verse number 20, of the children of Ephraim. And then look what he says, of the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joel. 21, of the half-tribe of Manasseh in Gilead, that's on the east side of Jordan. Didn't cross over Jordan. Iddo. And then of Benjamin, verse number 22, of Dan. You'll notice there are two in every verse, but verse number 22, there's one. So there's 13 judges here that David assigned over these 12 tribes. He gave three to the tribe of Joseph. He gave one for Ephraim, one for the half tribe on the west side of Manasseh, of Jordan of Manasseh, and one on the east side of Jordan, the half tribe of Manasseh. So there's three there. There's two from Levi. So that's 13 in total, but no Asher and no Gad. He said, why did David leave out though? I don't know. Maybe it might be that these tribes were so small or so insignificant by this time that they didn't even have a large group to give a judge to. I don't know why he did that. But I'm just saying, this is David. This is the first king. This is before the divided kingdom. And they're already so insignificant here. They don't even have a judge. Even after God said, you're going to be abundant. You're going to be blessed. But they were not. It doesn't look like. But look with me in Luke chapter number 2. I'm thankful that there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New. Amen. And some things that we find in the lineage of Christ, we find some harlots, some Moabite, different people. But when they are named in the lineage of Christ, there's no sin mentioned. Bathsheba was the right wife, who was the wife of Uriah. Almost every time she's mentioned, when you come to the New Testament, she's just Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. Amen. And so we find the blood covers the sin. Amen. I thank the Lord for it. But I want to look here at Luke chapter number 2. Look down at verse number 36. The Bible says, and there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and lived 107 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about fourscore. And she had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about fourscore and 4 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. This widow woman we find here, she's in the same story, if we can say it that way, of Simeon. At the same time of Simeon. Simeon's been praying. God's given him a word saying that he's going to not die until he sees the Christ. And he does see him. He's an old man, and he takes Christ up in his arms when he's 40 days old and blesses him. Amen. And we thank the Lord for it. Then Anna sees Christ here as well. And she coming in that instant, verse number 38, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now we find here, I believe this is the only time in the New Testament we find anybody from the tribe of Asher. And we find here, the Bible says, and there was one, Anna. There was one. Her tribe had forsaken God. Her tribe had disappeared pretty much. But yet, there was one that said she's going to serve the Lord. I believe that we find all of these blessings that God blessed Asher with in Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33, I think we find the fulfillment of all those here in the life of Anna. Because she decided she's going to... The Bible says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. She had strength to live for the Lord because she attempted to do that. Amen. She was faithful in her place, even in this time. There was one. Do you want to be that one?
Amen.
This morning? Amen. I hope that you do. The whole tribe seems to have disappeared, been unable, even with all their prosperity and popularity, to remain faithful to the Lord. I'm thankful there was one that decided she's going to live Amen. For the Lord. Even when there's 400 years of darkness and haven't heard anything from God, she still believes the Word of God.
Right.
God said He's going to send His Son, and she's looking for Him.
Amen.
She's faithful to do that. Amen. And she, so we find that she here, we talked about this, he is going to be, Asher is going to be abundant. Well, look at this. She is abundant.
Yep.
Amen. She's abundant. You say, she doesn't have any children. Doesn't look like. She's married for 7 years, had a husband for 7 years, and then she was a widow. Doesn't look like she may have had children, I don't know, but it doesn't look like she did. But she's blessed abundantly. Because she gets to hold the Christ in her arms. Amen. She gets to look into the eyes of her Savior. Amen. She is abundant with the Christ child. Amen. She's blessed by a child. Amen. Amen. And she's accepted. Asher's going to be accepted. She said, the Bible says, and she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She's accepted of those that are seeking the truth. Looking for the Messiah.
Yep.
Amen. For those that are righteous, for those that are faithful, she is accepted and they are listening to her. Amen. They listened and accepted what she said. She's affluent. Now, not in worldly riches, but she is affluent. Amen. She's wealthy. You know, what we hold in our hands is more precious, amen, than all the wealth of the world.
Amen.
Amen. We talk about, Peter said, the precious blood of Christ. Amen. Your salvation, the fact that God would look your way and show mercy to you and send somebody to preach the gospel to you
Amen.
Is precious. Amen. And you are affluent.
Right.
You're blessed beyond measure. Amen. We are. We all are if we've been born again. Amen. She was affluent, but she was also able. She's just a widow lady. The Bible tells us she was a widow. She lived with her husband for 7 years. So apparently, it looks to me like she was married for 7 years and he died. And then she lived after that he died, 84 years, 84 years after he died. So I don't know when she got married, but if she got married when she's 14, she's well over 100 years old.
Yep.
She's an older lady, amen. But yet, look what the Bible says. She was of a great age and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day.
Amen.
Man, she was at the house. I don't think that this meant that she lived at the house of God.
No.
I don't think they had a place for people to live there in the temple. But she was there every opportunity that she had. Every time the doors was open, she was going to be there.
Yeah.
And I believe the reason was because she knew, she knew from the Word of God that God's going to send His Son, born of a virgin, amen, to redeem us from our sin. And she's looking for the Christ child. I believe that's why she saw the Christ child. I've preached that about Simeon. Herod was probably there at the temple. We know he's at the temple some. That he was proud of that temple. He built that temple. Or he didn't build it entirely, but he built on to it and made it nicer. Amen. And all this. It was known as Herod's temple.
Right.
He was proud of that. He was probably there a lot of the time. But later we're going to find he's going to try to kill all the babies. The reason for it. And so he can kill that Christ child. Yet, he might have passed right by him.
Yeah.
Didn't even see him. Didn't even know he was there. You know why? Because he wasn't looking for him. Well, there's two people. They seen him. There's older people. And they knew the Word of God. And they were following, like Brother Jacob was teaching this morning. They had the Word of God in them. Amen. And they knew that Christ was coming. And they was looking for him. She was an older lady, over 100 years old, more than likely. And yet she had strength to come to the house of God. People say, you shouldn't take your kids to the church all the time. You can't even go to church all the time. I mean, three times a week, and then during revival, during marathon, during Bible conference, during mission, you're just going to wear yourself out.
Yeah.
Bible says, as your days, so shall thy strength be. She came every day. She is faithful to the house of God. Amen. She was able to go to the temple every day. She was able to serve God with fastings and prayers. Even if you're not able to go to the house of God, if you get to the place where you're physically not able, and there does come a time when you're not able to do so, you are still able to pray, amen, and to read your Bible and to be faithful. You'll have strength to match your days.
Amen.
Amen. She lived for God and she had strength. Now let me say this. I have four things here quickly. That Anna was. There's four things we need to, if we're going to be that one, then we're going to have to recognize. Well, first of all, she was that one. Anna was that one in a dark setting. It was dark politically.
Oh, yeah.
You had Herod on the throne.
Yep.
You had Pilate, or not probably not Pilate at that time, but you had some Roman governor.
Right.
You had a Jewish king that was a puppet king. You had the Roman governor. You had the Caesar Augustus. They're on the throne. Wicked men on the throne.
Right.
Politicians were corrupt.
Yeah.
The preachers were corrupt. She's here at the temple. And a few years later, our Lord's going to come in there and overthrow the tables because they've made the house of God a place of business.
Right.
They have come and they've made a living off of religion.
Yep.
That's what every religion in the world does. They make a living. The Roman Catholics found out you can make money if you just tell people they can sin all they want to as long as they come and give you a check and ask you to forgive them of their sin.
Yep.
We're talking about the prophetess Diana, Princess Diana, They were making money off those little trinkets they were selling.
Yep.
The great goddess Diana, they called her. These preachers were corrupt. The church house was corrupt. And we can look around in our day. We can see that churches today, talking about the Catholics, a man in the church there, Pollard, told me about this. There's a Catholic priest that's in all kind of trouble. I don't think he's able to be a priest anymore. And he's been doing this for like 30-some years, I think, they said. And he changed one word in the baptism spills they do. And now all his baptisms are wrong.
Right.
So all those people that was baptized as a baby, which is not baptism, he just sprinkled them.
Right.
Amen. But he sprinkled them as a baby and said these magical words over them, but he said one wrong word, and so now they have the I don't remember how many rites that they have 7 or 12 or whatever they have, and you have to have baptism first, and you have these other rites as you go along. Well, none of them are valid if the first one's not valid. So now they have to go through all of these rites again because the priest said one wrong word. Can I say this? The Catholics want that out there because they want you to be talking about this priest that said the wrong word rather than the priest that molested all these children.
Right, yeah.
Amen. Listen, they got bigger problems than one word.
Yeah.
Amen. But this religion is corrupt. Amen. But not only are the preachers corrupt and the politicians are corrupt, there's a lot of people in the pews that are corrupt. There's a lot of people coming to this temple bringing sacrifices. There's a lot of Pharisees. There was a lot of religious people that thought that their good works was going to be good enough. Brother Jacob talked about that woman caught in an act of adultery, and these people brought him. They were religious, but they were hypocrites. Amen. There's a lot of people like that. But Anna decided, even if everybody around her, even the preacher, even the president, if all of them were corrupt, she was still going to be one that was not corrupt. She was going to serve the Lord. She was going to be that one, even in a dark setting. She was in deep sorrow. She was a widow woman. She had lost her husband. She'd been a widow woman for a long time. And you think about all the dreams she probably had for them together, all the children they was going to have, all the things they was going to do with their life. And it all comes crashing down. She's living an unfair life. Why did God... Maybe she's blaming God. Why? She could have blamed God. A lot of people do. Something like this happens. But no, she served the Lord all the way to her death. Amen. She was that one. Amen. In a dark setting, in deep sorrow, in a difficult service, she was there. Think about the sacrifice that she made to be at the house of God every day, serving Him. Amen. It's a difficult service, but look, she didn't have what Simeon had. Simeon had a promise from the Holy Ghost. He wasn't going to see death. She didn't know that. It doesn't say that she knew that. She didn't have a special word from God. She didn't have... Look what the Bible says in verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and about waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. That's not said of Anna. At this time, the Holy Ghost didn't live inside the heart of the believer. Amen. He came upon people at different times. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. That's not seen in Anna. Verse number 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. You don't find the Holy Ghost led her to go to the temple. But she still remained faithful. Listen, even if you don't feel the nudge of the Holy Ghost to do right, he does want you to do right. We was talking about this the other day. We don't go by our feelings.
Right.
Amen. The Holy Ghost is going to be there. But we have that conscience Brother Jacob was talking about. Sometimes we can sear that conscience.
Yep.
The Holy Ghost can be pricking our heart, and we've developed a callus there.
Right.
And we don't even realize what he's saying. She didn't have everything Simeon had. She doesn't have nowhere near what all we have.
Right.
But you know what she did have? She had the Old Testament.
Yeah.
She had God's Word.
Right.
Didn't have it all, but she had all she needed.
Amen.
Amen. You know what we have? We have the Word of God. We have the completed Word of God.
Right.
We have it all. Amen. You can't, it doesn't matter what the situation is at the house of God or at the courthouse or at the White House. Doesn't matter what's happening in the pews, whether everybody else is a hypocrite. You can determine you're going to be that one that's going to serve the Lord because you have the Word of God that tells you what you need to do. Amen. Amen. She did not miss a day. And because of that, she didn't miss the day when God showed up. Amen. Every day is not going to... God doesn't show up every day.
Right.
She lived over 100 years and never seen this sight. But she remained faithful. And because she was faithful, because she was that one, she was blessed. She was abundant. Amen.
Amen.
She was prosperous because of that. Amen. Are you going to be that one? Listen, there's 50-some thousand came out of Egypt of the tribe of Asher. But they all died. And we don't read anything good any of them did. Amen. They didn't even fight the battles God told them to fight. And before long, they was insignificant. But there's one, over 1,000 years later, said, I'm going to do what's right.
Amen.
I'm going to serve the Lord. Listen, you don't have to. It's not going to be easy to.
Right.
It wasn't easy for her. She had a lot of problems. a lot of difficulties. But you can determine in your heart today, I'm going to be that one. I'm going to be there when the doors are open. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to witness. I'm going to give. I'm going to do what God would have for me. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to study the Bible. And I'm going to live according to the Word of God. You can say, you can be that one. Amen. There was when we were singing that song this morning, when we see Christ. The second verse talks about sometimes the days are dark. I don't remember how it says it exactly. But there is one in heaven. Amen. You can be one here because there's one in heaven that knows our deepest fear. Amen. And I thank the Lord that we can know that He is our strength.
Amen.
Amen. As we are following Him. Amen, Daddy.